Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 563, The Bountiful Monitors, recorded live on December 6th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Deathstorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T. It almost has a voice.
It's still there. It hasn't gone completely. Hopefully it doesn't go completely.
It's fading fast. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, hopefully the excitement for this upcoming update isn't too much to warrant you losing your voice, but if you lose your voice over it, I think we know why. At least we assume that.
It's worth losing your voice over.
Okay,
it's that's looking good to be a really good update.
Yeah, we had the Forge Legacy Anvil's Legacy. That's it.
Yeah,
we had that one a while ago, and that was the largest content update period. And this one is almost in the running for the second largest, I would think.
Yeah, the way they're billing it, it's going to be a pretty good sized one, that's for sure.
And there's still more info that they haven't released on it, too. Even though we have a lot of info today, there's going to be even more info tomorrow, and even more info when it actually drops on Thursday. So there's the first piece of news right there that is, this thing is dropping in 2 days as of this recording. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already out, unless you're listening to us live. So December 8th, early Christmas present. Christmas comes early in Halo 5. it's called Monitor's Bounty. I think I didn't say that quite yet, but it's going to be lots of cool things Forge related, lots of new wrecks, and then the premium wreck pack that has all the voices with it that was also teased will be made available in this update. It's not something that comes with it necessarily. You still have to buy it. I think it's currently one of those premium packs that costs $9.99 to buy. You can't get it with wreck points from what we've seen so far, but that might change tomorrow depending on what information that we get, so we'll just have to wait and see. But where shall we start with on this update, GT?
How about we start at the top and just work our way to the bottom?
Alrighty. Three big things. They always had kind of like the three tiles of things that they are like kind of the staples of the update. So first thing, Forge mini games. We don't exactly know what that is yet. There is not any info in what they provided today, so I'm thinking we will probably see some more tomorrow on that. But Forge mini games to me sounds like maybe some really custom-y stuff that you can do in Forge, but not customs. So I'm thinking maybe an equivalent to the Insane game type from Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those kinds of options just done within Forge, or maybe that's game modes that you can create in Forge that are based off of a game type like the Insane game type that you can use, and you can tweak some different in-game scenarios or something. But that's all speculation at this point. We'll hopefully figure out more tomorrow. If not, we'll definitely know more on Thursday. But just to speculate, there is a picture of a pawn, and they even teased this over the weekend, and they said, let's play a game.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's going to be some variation of the Insane game type.
And the Insane game type was used also to make chess in Halo Reach. So with the pawn on there, I don't know if that's just kind of an akin or a reference back to that, or if it's going to be something that's more along the lines of just it's generic, like there's going to be new kind of game modes that you can make within Forge that you can only do within Forge.
They could be trying to make Forge into some type of, you know, game other than, you know, beat your buddies with a tank.
Just look at how many different kind of mini games that there were in Reach. And since we had them on the show, just all the stuff that Pete the Duck made. When it came to pioneering the game type in Reach, the Insane game type, he was one of the ones up there on the front lines.
He's come up with some really wacky stuff out of just a simple game type.
And just think of some of the ones that we've already seen in Halo 5 because of all the crazy scripting and zones and all that stuff you could do. I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me, just because of how custom it is beer pong.
Yeah. And there's multiple versions of it. You know, there's a version that you can play with a team, and then there's a version that you can play with just 1v1. And yeah, I like it. I like the variations.
Well, I'm thinking too, if there's going to be mini games, is that going to possibly expand the scripting aspect of Forge? And are we going to get some new interactive elements? Like, I know one thing that's been requested for a while is trigger volumes, where you can walk into an area, and if you walk into a volume, it activates a script. So just like you would hit a button to interact with something, a lot of the interactable elements you have to use with buttons or time them. And a trigger volume would be just like a button that's based off of someone being in a certain volume. So that would be cool if they're expanding the scripting elements of Forge in order to implement these mini games that they're going to be dropping in here.
Well, they're obviously going to be adding some different options. It just, I can't wait. Oh, excuse me. I can't wait to see what those options are going to be. Pardon me while I choke myself.
But yeah, Race is another mode that's been highly requested. I don't think that would be a Forge mini game necessarily, but hopefully you move in the right direction.
Possibly. Yeah, I know Duquesne's really pumped about Race. And, you know, the guys at 343 haven't been, like, teasing him about it or anything.
They've been teasing about it pretty much almost since Halo 5 launched.
Yeah, but they've been teasing Duquesne especially.
Yeah. I'm sure Tom French and him have had some discussions, and Duquesne's just like, just give it to me already. I just want it now.
Can I have it? Please, please.
Please, please, please. Well, hopefully it'll be sooner. As in, pretty soon rather than later. It's kind of interesting that it's still, like, it hasn't been implemented yet, and we've only had ball modes incorporated. So I'm wondering if, with the redesign of the sandbox, if it's a little bit more tricky to integrate new game modes into the system.
Well, I don't think it's more tricky to integrate more game modes. I think it's just they have to pay more attention to the tuning on the game mode.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
Some game modes are a little harder to implement than others. You know, Race.
You're right.
Yes, Race was available from the get-go, but each game has done Race a little differently. And, you know, you have to, since they're an officially supported thing, they have to get the gates to work correctly. Or at least have a beginning and a finish, or, you know, a start finish line that works.
That might help.
You know, that would definitely make it more useful.
Reach had one that the race system worked pretty well, I think.
I had a lot of fun in Race with Reach. Had a lot of fun with Race in Halo 3 too.
Well, Halo 3, it had to be jerry-rigged because you're using VIP.
Yeah, but I still had fun.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it wasn't fun. I'm just saying, like back in Halo 3, it was like, that was something that, like, you had to really kind of make on your own. And there was at least a weird workaround in order to make it work, but we just don't have that in Halo 5 at the moment.
Yeah.
Other than just racing around a track and playing by honor rules, which usually devolves and doesn't really get upheld.
Yeah, it devolves pretty quickly.
Yeah. But anyways, Forge mini games. Hopefully we'll have some more information on that tomorrow. If not, we'll definitely find out what it means on Thursday.
Yes.
And then the next thing on the nice little infographic is Observer Mode.
Yeah, this is something that really surprised me that they did.
I was a little surprised too, but I do remember them saying at Worlds that they were looking at making this possibly a feature that the community could use.
Yes.
And it looks like they finally did.
I remember them mentioning it, but it's kind of like the Phantom One, you know, everybody wants it, but the chances of getting it are pretty low. But I'm glad they did that, because there are certain communities that that will be a huge help with.
Griffball.
Yeah. Now, I know right off the bat, it only works with certain game types. There are, you know, there's only a set of game types that it is set up to work with, which, yeah, it looks like 4v4 arena and free-for-all. So I don't, if Griffball is used under the arena game type, right?
Griffball is, yeah, it's an arena mode. It's under the ball type, but it doesn't, from what I read in the blog, it's just, it's only limited to 8 people playing. So like if you're doing big team, you can't have an observer team. But if you are doing something that is 8 or less, regardless of mode,
it's 8 people, because they've got a little note here, 1v2, v3, v4, v5, multi-team. So it has to be red and blue, you know, so no, you know, orange and purple and green and yellow team.
It only supports up to 8 players and 2 teams. So you can do free-for-all 8 players, and it'll just split out the 8 players up on either side. Or you can do, if it's a team game, it can only be used on modes where there are only 2 teams. So that'll be something that can be used, that should be able to be used by Griffball, because it's 4-on-4, 2 teams.
No more hacking the observer mode in.
Yeah, but I mean, to give Griffball credit, they've done a really good job.
They've done an awesome job
since Halo 3 to kind of implement their own kind of live camera system. But this will be something that they'll be able to utilize so well. And they'll have to, I mean, it looks like they'll probably have to relearn some camera movements to really get the full benefit of this. But I bet they're going to try to learn how to use this pretty quickly. And thinking about other communities that do tournaments like this, I mean, Team Beyond usually has their 2v2, their doubles tournaments, their FFA tournaments, and that kind of stuff. That's perfect for them to use. And there's PGL, BigTeamBattle.net couldn't use it because you can't use it on Big Team. But I know there's a few other communities that regularly stream team on team type stuff where this would be perfect.
It really helps with the broadcasting side of, you know, Halo, because there's people that broadcast, you know, different game modes and, you know, different game types.
Yeah, and whenever we did our tournament back for our Spartans for Troops, this would be perfect for that. So there's lots of different ways I think the community can really utilize this. So I'm happy to see that this finally made the light of day and that it's now out here in the wild. So that would be cool. I'm interested to hear what the stream, anyone who's in the stream, if they would have any use for it. But going back up to the update infographic, the third thing that we have is Custom Games Browser, which is basically a glorified server browser for Xbox One. So I'm guessing what you can do is set a flag in your custom games to make it public. So looking at the privacy under the screenshot where it has showing the ability to use observer mode, it says privacy on there as Friends of Spartan Company. So I'm assuming there's a privacy option for public that will be implemented on this. If it's not going to use the public one that's already currently in there. And then you'll be able to use the customs browser and basically just like a server browser that you would on PC. So if anyone has played Halo or Halo 2 Vista on PC, then you know that there's a server browser that you go to find a server and then you join it. So this is just probably consolidating all the different Halo servers that are up for a custom game, since all custom games are hosted on Xbox's cloud servers, and then you can pick which one you just want to hop into. So it's Halo's getting closer and closer to kind of resembling PC, and it's going to be very useful for PC too, because the screenshots I provide is for PC. So it's almost basically the multiplayer features implemented for PC coming to Xbox One as well.
Yeah, it's It's amazing how the games are slowly merging together. So,
I like it.
The possibility of a full-fledged Halo game on PC is not such a far-fetched dream anymore.
No, it's not. And it's still amazing that all this content is free for Windows 10.
Definitely. It's I just can't believe how much content we're getting out of this, you know, this Rec Pack system. I mean, I know there's people that are hard on the Rec Pack system and say it's pay to win and, you know, it's all this other stuff. And to their point, there is some of that that it is. But I think 343 has done, for a first shot at a microtransaction in the Halo series, well, as far as the first-person shooter side, I think they've done really well.
Yeah, I think as far as implementing new things and adding to the Rec system, it's been great. And we haven't even gotten to the Rec part yet.
Uh-huh.
Just all the features that they've added, though, is really awesome. And if you look at the stuff that's been implemented on PC, arguably, that's probably a good 30%, if not like a third, of activity that would be on Xbox One. Just custom games and Forge. All that contained on PC. That's probably about a third of what you would see players probably interact with. And then everything else being matchmaking, with arena matchmaking and Warzone. Obviously don't have Warzone on PC. And then campaign. You're missing the campaign as well.
No, I mean, you know, the bulk of Halo's history on PC is custom game. I mean, you have a custom game server. You know, you're not really match made. Well, you're not match made at all. Halo 2 had kind of a matchmaking system.
It did. The PC version, it kind of just took some generic points, like preferences for matchmaking. And it just found a dedicated server that kind of matched your preferences.
Yeah.
That's all it did. Custom games browser. Awesome. There's also some filters that you can put on it. You can filter out game mode. You can filter out map. You can filter out player relations. So if it's your friends, if it's your company, if it's your club, you can also sort it by a couple different things. You can sort it by player count. You can order it by the name of the map or name of the game mode. You can add a tag. If it's like a tag from a custom file tag that someone's using to play with, you can put that tag in there, and then any games that has a map or game mode with that tag will show up in the filtered list. So it's pretty versatile. It's similar kind of filtering and tagging as you would see for the content browser, except you're just looking for game lobbies. It's going to be pretty cool. Needless to say.
Yeah, I can't wait to get a hold of it and kind of play with it a little bit.
Yeah. I think so. That's it for the kind of big three things. Right underneath that, they typically list the maps. And for this one, we're getting two completely new Forge canvases, one of which people have been asking for quite a while, including myself. And they are called Baron and Depths. Baron's is a Sanghelios style Forge canvas. So similar to kind of the kind of clayish red brown that we see in the campaign. And then Depths is like kind of underwater like Forge canvas. I don't know if it's actually underwater or not, but just from the one little screen that we have from the customs browser option, it looks very much like it could be underwater stuff that you can like forge buildings in and around, and then kind of have that kind of underwater like effect. Or I guess a better way to put it would be like a cave system, a blue cave system. Those are the two different maps, two different forge canvases that will be available to use. I can see quite a few people using both and trying to convert some maps there. It would be interesting, depending on how Depths actually looks, to see if people could implement Waterworks from Halo 2. There's a lot of different maps that have been made just off the canvases that we've had already, and adding these two in there, I think, is going to open up doors for even more canvases, or like canvas creations to be made, which will be awesome. So aside from the maps, custom game browser, observer mode, and Forge mini games, we have a whole bunch of new recs. some of which that we've kind of already heard about a little bit from leaks, unfortunately, but some of which we haven't, and is going to be really cool to get our hands on. So starting off with some armor stuff, we have one new armor set called Icarus. It's kind of a play off of... There's one I'm thinking of. For some reason, I don't remember the name of it. But it kind of looks like a moderate variation off of another one that's in there already. But it's a brand new helmet, brand new armor set. And then we also have the grenade launcher.
We have two grenade launchers.
Yeah, we have the grenade launcher and the pro pipe. They're not one the same anymore. They're different. So that's the grenade launcher from Reach, for those who may not know the reference of the pro pipe. But they've split it out to... So the grenade launcher is an uncommon and the pro pipe is a rare, so pro pipe is the better version of it, so to speak. Any guesses onto what it might do differently? I'm thinking grenade launcher will probably be like, well, it depends if they match exactly the functionality from Reach, but I'm thinking the grenade launcher will probably bounce and then explode, where pro pipe could probably detonate on proximity if it flies by somebody.
I think the regular one just works just like the Reach one. You can, you have the, you can just pop it out there, hold it, and then, just lay your booby trap like before, with the EMP effect and everything. The other one, I don't know. I mean, it will definitely have something different. It's a matter of what that is, what it's going to be. In the leaks, they did demonstrate the two differences, but honestly, I don't remember what they are for now, right off the top of my head. There are some things that, may have changed since they put the files put the updates in the system. There may have been some tweaking on a weapon or something that they found that they didn't like the way something was laid out.
Yep. Makes sense to me. Eric Yabu in the chat says the possibility of a cluster of grenades for the pro pipe.
That's entirely possible.
We'll see on Thursday, that's for sure. We also have another new weapon, the Safeguard Sentinel Beam.
Yeah, that looks really interesting.
It's very different than the normal Sentinel Beam.
Uh-huh. Be interested to see how effective it is.
Compared to the normal one?
Yeah, well, a lot in how it actually plays. When you use it, does it work like a turret, or is it more like, a rocket launcher, the traditional beam, the traditional Sentinel beam?
I would assume it'll probably be more like the traditional beam. That'd be my guess, though. Don't know necessarily. But it does look significant. It looks kind of like a cross between like a railgun and a Sentinel beam, though. It doesn't look like a normal Sentinel beam. Like it's been modified by people, by humans.
What? The modify the Forerunner weapons? I can't see that.
And if we look down, we see the Forerunner scopes on UNSC weapons. Anyways. Yeah. We've got some new vehicles coming down the pipeline as well. We have an anti-air Wraith, which was teased from the last Halo live stream. That'll be nice to play with.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
I kind of wish there were more machinimas, because there's a lot of different pieces to use for machinimas out there. It's just there's not many people out there making machinimas anymore. But there's so many good wrecks to use and so much that you can do in Forge where it'd be perfect. Like, I wish we had this Forge system and this much content 8 to 10 years ago when machinima was at its prime and at its peak for Halo. Because this would make some awesome, awesome machinima.
Well, back then they didn't have the technology.
Yeah, and now we do. But machinimas, come on, get on it. Well, yeah, Laird kind of pointed out there's no money in machinima, which is kind of sad, but kind of true at the same time.
It is.
In addition to the anti-air Wraith, we also have the Hannibal Wasp and the Oni Wasp.
Yeah, I'm kind of really interested to see how durable those are.
Well, the Oni Wasp, I know, is going to be a lot more durable than the normal one, because anything that has been Oni has always had upgraded armor, like significantly upgraded armor. But it'll be interesting for the Hannibal one.
Yeah. How much more armor does it have? How much more of a pounding does it take to get it to kill it?
I'm also interested because the Hannibal Wasp is supposed to have the Gauss turret on it, if there's going to be any kind of recoil, where if you, when you're shooting the Gauss cannon, that you kind of fly back a little bit.
You're spinning across the map.
That would be funny.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to, maybe I can actually get some more wasps now. I tell you what, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, they are really stingy on wasps. Every time I do one of my rec openings, I get anywhere from 2 to 3 wasps, and that's it. The most I've had at one time was when they first launched that rec card. I got 4.
Well, they're pretty stingy on Phaetons too, though.
Yeah, I still haven't got one of those.
The only air vehicle they're not stingy on really is Banshees, because there's 4 different variations of it. Whereas the Phaeton, there's only 2. It only started out with 1, but it's only 2. And the Wasp has only been 1 variation until now. There'll be 3.
Yeah. You know, the Phaetons, I can kind of understand those because they generally require a pretty high rec level to call in. You know, I don't think they drop near as often as they should. But with the, you know, with the current Wasp that we have being such a low rec level, and the amount of damage you can inflict with one, it's probably a good thing they don't show up too often.
Yeah, but the Wasps get taken out really easy, so it'd be nice if those showed up a little bit more often.
Yeah, they're, believe it or not, those Wasps, yeah, don't get me wrong, there's people that are absolutely amazing with Wasps. I don't do normal firefight or a normal war zone anymore because there's too many tryhards in there. But I mean, I use mine in firefight, and you know, keep the AI is not that intelligent, but they do tend to focus on vehicles pretty hard. And there have been some times where I've made a Wasp last a lot longer than it should have.
I would agree. The first time I used the Wasp was, let's see, I did it was Warzone firefight at maybe it was San Diego. It was the first time I had played. Yeah, I think it was at San Diego Comic Con. It was the first time I had played Firefight because they were doing the convention rounds with it, and I got a Wasp because they kind of had a starting set of recs for people to kind of try out. And since they were introducing the Wasp, they had Wasps for people to have, and I had that thing from round 2 to probably at least halfway through round 5. So, like, there's, if you know how to use it and kind of know when to back off, and if people aren't, I mean, you're in Warzone, it's, you're playing against AI, so it's a little bit easier to kind of dodge than real players sometimes. But if you look at being able to strategically use the Wasp and make sure that you're getting out of harm's way whenever you need to, and you have teammates that are supporting you, it can be decently effective, but it can also get taken out with some very coordinated BR shots. Like, if you had your whole team shooting at that thing, within probably 5 seconds, it'd be gone.
I mean, yeah, it's a real tactical vehicle. I mean, you've got to be smart when you're running around in a Wasp. You don't have a lot of armor. And, you know, the chain gun does take a little bit longer to kill than it does in, like, a Warthog.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the added benefit of the missiles. So, you know, if used appropriately, you can have pretty quick kill time. But anyway, I'll be really interested to see what these other two Wasps do. Hopefully I can get some on launch day and actually play with them.
Well, you know, the only ones is the machine gun's going to have a little explosive rounds in it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the missile pods do. I wonder if those will be like the secondary explosives with the missiles as well. Like, there's a rocket launcher that has that, right?
It could fire hydro rockets for all I know.
Oh, targeting rockets. Ooh. Well, they have targeting rockets, but that's only works for vehicles. So maybe it's like
only air vehicles.
That's right. So maybe it would be air and ground vehicles.
Yeah.
My goodness, Erkibu. Erkibu has 600,000 rec points and 72 wasps. Too bad you can't trade actual rec cards. Which kind of leads into another thing which we haven't gotten to yet. But I digress. We'll finish up the wrecks that are coming, and then we'll get to that little tidbit. So there's a tease for you. Next down the wreck list, we have a new visor called Solar Visor. It is a bright red visor. It is pretty much just red.
Yeah, it's a shoot me here visor.
That is true. That is that's a very good way to put it. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, a lot of the visors are, don't get me wrong, they're cool and everything, but yeah, they just scream, shoot me here.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's why I was so happy to get the black visor, because all the other visors, when I look at my Spartan, it looked like there's a beacon on my face.
Yeah, I have, I forget which one I have, but it's some kind of purple, maybe with a tint on it.
Yeah, some of them are not too bad. I mean, the gold visor isn't extremely bad. But some of your brighter colors, like a red or the yellow tinted one, depending on your armor color, of course, for a lot of this, you know, if you have red armor, then it probably will blend in pretty well. But, you know, if you're wearing like green armor and you have a red visor, kind of stands out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you have, you know, some of these helmets like EVA or the security helmet.
But regardless, it's another visor. People will like it.
I'm sure somebody's going to love it.
And want some more of it? Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Okay, next on the list, we have some new assassinations, one of which they provided us a little GIF on the update, which is called Inevitability, Mr. Anderson.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have C take out the trash.
It'd be interesting to see how that one's animated. I mean, the name itself is like,
yeah. Huh. Judging from the photo in the update here, I am not really looking forward to seeing what Supernova is.
Yeah, that one looks painful.
I don't want to know where that the Spartan's other foot is.
Well, so it looks like one foot's on the ground, and he has hold of another leg.
Uh-huh.
But like, you can't see the torso. Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, his boots right there. Yeah, yeah. His boots right in his crotch.
Like yeah. I said, I don't think I want to know if it's there or
not.
I'm just hoping it's on the ground behind it.
Oh,
that might be a little graphic for this game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure it's a clean assassination. I'm sure they don't do anything as dirty-minded as I'm thinking it, but it doesn't bode well with that picture. Competitor, is that what that is? Is that what that says?
That's a stance. That's a stance.
Competitor's, yeah. The competitor stance looks kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, though. It looks like one hand's open and the other fist is like coming in, like about to pound it or something, I guess. I don't know. But like he's about to punch somebody in his head. his foe's imaginary head is in his hand and is about to punch it. I guess.
Or it's one of those come get me.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking it's actually supposed to be playing off of.
I see Menace showing up a lot. Nothing like taunting the people you're playing against.
Honestly, though, how many people actually go and check the other player's stances? And you really can't do that in matchmaking. So you can only do that in custom games.
Or on the website or something like that. But yeah, it would be nice if you could, you know, if they would load in the players in the pregame so you could look at who you're playing against. You know, at least look at their armor and stuff.
Yeah, and I get the whole fact of like they don't want to necessarily reveal who you're playing against. But like if there's a way to show off the stance.
I mean really what's the point of having a stance if nobody can see it? I mean honestly, I've got the stance with the sniper rifle. I put it on because it looked cool. And I haven't even looked at the rest of the stances that I've gotten, other than when I unlocked them in the rec cards.
I have one stance. I forget which one it is, but other than that, I don't use the stances. So I'm right there with you. So we got done with the assassinations. We talked about Supernova, Inevitability, and Take Out the Trash. I like the sound of Inevitability just because I like the Matrix a lot. It is inevitable. So I might try out that assassination for a little while. But as you mentioned, stance-wise, we have Competitor. We also have Menace, which looks very menacing. And then we have Casual Carry. And I can't tell exactly what he's holding.
Looks like he's just holding an SMG.
Is it, okay. It looked kind of like an SMG, but at the same time, it's like, I can't exactly tell.
Not exactly big thumbnails.
No, not really. Apparently, Eric Kibu says he already has Take Out the Trash.
It would not surprise me.
He says he doesn't think it was supposed to be unlocked, but he somehow got it anyways. Him and his 600,000 rec points.
Bitch!
How much Warzone do you still play, Eric Kibu? And have you hit 152 yet? Seriously, though. So that's all the different stances that we got. We have the new weapon scopes being the Foreigner scopes for the DMR, SMG, AR, and BR. They're called the Morph scopes. They're basically just modified Forerunner scopes.
Not Mighty Morphin, just Morph.
Just Morph. Eric Boo says he's 17.5 million away from 152. 2.6 million away from 151. So he's probably on 150. My gosh, that's ridiculous. All right, back to the wrecks. We have some new weapon skins for all the weapons. All the primary weapons, that is. Skulls and Roses and Pop Culture and Monstrous. So Skulls and Roses has a bunch of skulls on it, and then it has red accents for the rosy part. Pop Culture, I can't exactly see what's on the weapons. Again, the details are kind of too small to really pull it out, but I can see some cat things on there. So I'm thinking it's kind of like pop meme type of things.
Think tie-dye and put it on your weapon.
Yeah, kind of. And then Monstrous is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it looks like they've got, one of them looks like it's got a shark face on it. Not the traditional one, like on the flamethrower, but like, you know, the actual body of a shark. So the pistol one almost looks like it's got eyes on the side of it.
It kind of looks like an eagle for some reason. And then the SMG one kind of reminds me of a Mr. Chief for some reason, but I don't think that's what it is.
Actually, I think that's a snake that wraps around the back of the gun. Because it looks like right there by the trigger, there's a mouth.
Oh, I see it. Okay, gotcha. You're right. Oh, and it looks like the BR is an octopus or a squid.
Something like that, yeah.
The AR is a spider.
Definitely monstrous.
Oh, and it looks like the DMR, I see what you mean by a shark, but it looks like it could be a crocodile.
It's something that has a large mouth and teeth.
Very monstrous. And then at the bottom of it, they tease us again with some more helmets that are coming in 2017. Which are actually pretty reminiscent to some classic helmets that we've seen in Halo 3 and Reach. So we have the Mark V Delta, we have Military Police, we have Recon, hashtag Ken has Recon, EVA Gen 1, Security Gen 1, Operator Gen 1, and then EOD, CQB, and Pilot. Quite a few fan favorites making their comeback next year.
So they're not done yet. More updates to come.
Well, we're still waiting for Race. They'll still be working on it until we get Race.
Well, you know, on the other half of this info drop, there might be Race.
Maybe. That's very true.
They said they had more information. So.
We'll have to wait and see. So that's it for the content that's coming with the update. There is also... That was actually kind of leaked and then was confirmed later on Reddit. There is the Voices of War Premium Rec Pack. Now, this is a rec pack so far that has been anticipated to be only able to buy with real world currency. So, not something that you can get with 80,000 or 100,000 rec points, but that's not set in stone yet. We know it's coming with the update, so it's going to be available on Thursday, so we'll know more then if we'll be able to buy it with points or if it'll have to be bought with money. But the idea right now is that it'll have to be bought with money.
And I will be buying one and doing a rec pack opening with it, with my normal rec pack opening, so it will be delayed a couple days. And I'm going to see if I can get some... footage of, you know, just a few lines of, with each announcer. But I think Yabada is probably going to be my favorite for a while.
The grunt.
Yeah.
I just read further in the update, which apparently I glossed over this before, but it does say this particular rec pack is not free. It's a premium purchase that will be available for $9.99, which includes all three announcers. And it will appear in Spartan customization as a new setting. When we were speculating last week that this might be Warzone only, this is actually Warzone and Arena. And there's actually some voice snippets that you can already get on the update. There's three from Buck, three from Exuberant Witness, and three from Yabda, the Merciless. I like the classic Jeff Stitzer.
Oh, I would love it if they had a pack where it replaced Palmer with Stitzer for Warzone.
I would say if there was a Johnson one, I would totally do Johnson.
Oh, I probably will be rotating through them. I've heard there was a couple of snippets that someone put out on Twitter. I forget who actually tweeted them, but they're different than the ones that are in the update. One of them is Yabda, and the Warden Eternal is killing your Spartans, and then he laughs. So I think that one's going to be my new ringer. So I will be probably playing Warzone with no sound effects and no music, just so I can capture some of these lines so I can turn them into phone ringers.
But you can't really turn off everything, right?
Yeah, you can. You can turn the sound effects off too.
Isn't sound effects part of voiceover? Or voiceover is part of sound effects?
Voice is separate. They separated the audio tracks. You have the voiceover, you have your sound effects, and then you have your music.
Cool.
So you can isolate that.
Or just wait for Game Cheat to dig through all the code and just pull them out, pull out the raw files.
True.
But we have the three different voices. Wouldn't be surprised if we see more eventually down the road.
Yeah.
Again, if 343 is listening, I would totally dig a Johnson. I know he's not part of Halo anymore, but it is a simulation, so it could be simulated in there. And I see no reason why not. Keep the legacy alive.
Ooh, Atriox.
Oh, that would be good. Or Arbiter, too.
Oh, there's just so many good ones. I don't know if I'd use Atriox. He'd probably make me wet myself while I'm playing.
But I mean, if you think about Atriox, you would probably want Captain Cutter.
Yeah.
Ford, Anders.
I don't know about Anders.
Isabella.
Ford, yes. Isabella, Cortana.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going that way, the Warden.
There's lots of possibilities. We'll just leave it at that. So, but yeah, three new sets of voices for Arena and Warzone, which if you think about it, is a lot of dialogue. But yeah, so you'll be able to get that for $9.99. No rec points, just money.
But anyway, yeah, I find that interesting that they're not offering that one with rec points. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've got a lot of money invested in getting all that, because there's a lot of dialogue there. Getting three different people to record all that dialogue.
Well, and Nathan Fillion isn't cheap to record either.
Well, true. You know, I'm sure he doesn't give him a discount, but he probably doesn't charge him as much as he could, because it does seem like he has a lot of fun playing Buck. But I'm not going to speak for the man because I don't know him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too sure.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time artists have done stuff like that.
Oh, I know.
I mean, what was it? Well, Halo 2, what artist was that? He was actually under contract to do something else. And he basically came and played for the Halo 2 soundtrack for free.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
I don't remember the name, but I know who you're talking about. Was it Jimi Hendrix?
No.
No. But yeah, because Marty was talking about it in the anniversary Vidoc thing. So yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But like I said, you know, just because he loved the game so much, he came. And, well, I'm sure he's probably good friends with Marty too, but still, he came and performed for nothing when he could have charged out the wazoo if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Wasn't the guy that does the famous guitar riff from Halo 2? I can't think of his name.
Someone in the chat probably knows.
Probably. Feel free to tweet it at us after you listen to the podcast and just you know, tell us how stupid we are.
Yeah. I mean, we could Google it. Steve Vai. We got it. We got one of them. We're one for two. Pins was saying Orlando Jones.
Like I said, I don't remember what the artist, which actual artist it was. I would have to go in and rewatch the documentary.
But no, I get what you're saying. And he may have very well done that. But again, he knows his value, and they probably want to make sure that he stays around the franchise because he's a very notable actor. And to answer Pins Halo, I think for Nathan Fillion, since he's like, he has a personality in the game, like he does acting and voice acting, that he probably gets more.
Yeah, they're poorly paid until they become a staple of the series.
There's a little other tidbit coming with the update as well, and that is rec gifting, specifically rec pack gifting, not just rec gifting, like you can't just gift a rec card, but you can buy rec packs and then gift them to somebody. Now, there's a little caveat to this, and that is because they, 343, wanted to make it to where you could just gift rec packs with rec points, but according to Xbox Live Enforcement Team, there is some legal reasons why they cannot do that.
They're thinking somebody might take advantage of that.
Which, I mean, I could understand happening, but there is a reason. I mean, it's not like they're just like trying to get more money out of people. They did like go to the powers that be and say, hey, can we do this? And the powers that be said, nope.
But it, you know, it's something nice for communities, you know, like ourselves. It makes, you know, if we want to start doing promotions where we give away rec packs, it makes it a little easier.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, where we can, you know, we can just basically send you a rec pack.
Makes digital stocking stuffers a lot easier too.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, to your point though, whenever you want to gift like a gold pack or something, you usually have to just buy someone a gift card and give them like a $5 gift card or a $10 gift card, which
yeah,
is more than what a gold pack costs. And then by the time that's done, you're left with a couple of cents over, and that's a couple of cents just kind of stacks up until you can clear that out eventually. That's one thing about the whole American market is like, why can't we just round everything up to the nearest dollar?
Yeah, I don't want them to round it up to the nearest dollar, but they could round it to the nearest 5 cents.
Or that.
But when you have a transaction system like Xbox Live, yeah, you probably should make it in even dollars.
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying by 5 cents. I was thinking like 99 cents to a dollar. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like if it's like $2.94 or something, yeah, make it $2.95.
Yeah, I think I still got like a dollar on my Xbox account that I've just never used. I don't know if it's still there or not.
That's not supposed to expire, so it should be.
I haven't looked. You know, I haven't looked if it got applied to any of my other purchases or anything.
Oh. Now there's ways you can figure that out.
Yeah, if I was really worried about it.
Eric Ibu also said that somehow Rex could circumvent gambling laws.
Well, I could understand that, yeah.
But regardless, there's a way to gift rec packs, which is cool. And people have been wanting to do it for a while. And granted, it's not quite the way I think people want it to happen, but it's still possible. And on December 8th, everyone's going to be given a giftable only rec pack to kind of show off how the feature works. So you'll have a gold gift pack in your requisitions area and that you have to gift to somebody. You can't open it yourself. You have to gift it to somebody.
No matter how many times you hammer that A button, it will not open.
Yeah. So find a friend you want to gift it to and make sure that you gift it to them.
And when you go to purchase them, if you want to purchase one to give as a gift, you need to make sure that you pick the option. It, you know, it tells you $2.99 or whatever your local currency is and gift next to it. You know, they have it where you can buy it for yourself or you can buy it a separate option to buy it as a gift because it actually handles the rec pack differently. So just keep in mind when you're buying them, if you're buying them for yourself, make sure you're clicking on the right button.
And then you get a little message, or whoever you send it to will get a message just like you get from like Xbox or whatever. And it has a little button on there that says where you can, well, there's not a button, but they just get a message saying that you sent them a Halo 5 Guardians rec pack, open the game to get the rec pack, and then you they go in and they have the rec pack there. And the rec packs that have been gifted to you will also have a little banner at the top saying who gifted it to you. So if you go to the latest update, there are a couple of videos on there that show you how it, what it looks like, how it works, so you can just go and see how the system's going to work come Thursday.
And I'd like to know whose account that is, because they got, what, 9,862,250 rec points.
Oh, it's a dummy account on their internal.
I know. Hacks. Oh. Giving themselves rec points.
Yeah, I know. So inconsiderate of them. You can also personalize a message as well when you send over your gift. And like we said, there'll be more info tomorrow with a deeper look at the Forge stuff, more cannon fodder. There's going to be some tweaks to Warzone and some big changes to arena matchmaking as well. And that'll all be tomorrow.
Demonstrate, please. Demonstrate. Live stream, live stream, live stream.
I wonder if there is going to be a live stream tomorrow. I mean, it would kind of surprise me if there wasn't a live stream tomorrow. So I'm guessing there might.
Tomorrow, I may just have, after it goes live, I may have to fire up Forge and just drop me down an anti-air tank and play with it. Or Wraith, sorry.
I knew what you meant.
The whatchamajigger.
The whatchamathingy. Chupa thingy. How about that? Like it. It's got a ring to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's all the info that we have for the latest update. That's coming tomorrow. Or sorry, Thursday. For those of us that are listening to us live on Twitch. And then for those that are listening to us after the fact, by the time you're listening to this, it may already be out. It's likely already out. So make sure you get the latest update for Halo 5. If they have them scheduled right, they usually release at, what, 3 a.m. Pacific time?
I don't know.
Something like that?
I turn on my Xbox and it's there.
Okay.
I mean, that's just the way it works. I turn on the Xbox and it's there. So,
regardless, it'll be available Thursday. It'll be available for Friday's game night. So there you go.
And hopefully I can get some anti-air wraiths to do firefight with.
Yeah. You know what this means, though? I can open up some silver packs again.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hopefully I get some stuff out of those.
You should. I would imagine, because it's... The silvers typically open all the uncommons and lean also towards some of the rares. We have 4 uncommons, so that'll be at least 4 rec packs. And depending on what the rares fit into, that might be another 2. So maybe 4 or 5 silvers, and you'll be good.
Yeah, I'll probably open more than that, because I'm getting kind of low on boosts, too. Yeah, now if they could just get you... make it to where you could gift individual rec cards. Don't see that happening.
No. Or trade.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
I know.
It'd be nice, but I don't see that.
It would be nice, but yeah, probably not happening. So, another little tidbit of Halo 5 news before we wrap things up. The 2016 HCS Fall Finals for North America is this coming weekend. It's going to be December 10th and 11th. The European finals were this past weekend, where FOB Esports took the championship title. And in our previous episode, which I actually recorded earlier tonight, but we're going to release as a separate episode, we had Strongside on the show. He's one of the casters, and he used to be a pro player back in the MLG days as well. So kind of very similar to Bravo, in that he started off a pro player and now he's involved with the esports scene. And being officially a part of 343. So we got to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we can look forward to this coming weekend. And I kind of dove into a little bit more of team dynamics within pro players and pro teams. So there's some interesting discussion points along those lines. I tried to kind of stick away from final specific questions just because I know there's a lot of other different sites out there, and there's actually a couple other competitive focused podcasts and YouTube channels that kind of cover a lot of that stuff. So I tried to throw some different questions in there. But if you want to check that out, it'll be up by the time this is posted, obviously. But make sure you head on over, check that out. Lots of good questions I got to ask Strong Sides, and huge shout outs to him for taking the time out of his workday to record with me. He's very busy getting ready for the finals, and he's actually flying out Friday morning because of how much stuff that he has to get done. And for some reason, Cortana was thinking I was talking to her, but I wasn't. So she opened up a Bing page with a very long search sentence.
That's nice.
That's funny. So he'll be out there. If anyone's going to be out there for the grand or for the finals, then make sure you hit him up and go say hi to him. He'll be there all weekend. And then we also have a couple other things that we talked about. I kind of talked about his past a little bit and how it was like going from being a player to being a caster and some other things that weren't necessarily finals related. So I think it's worth checking out. It's a little bit different, which I kind of wanted to kind of do something that was a little bit different than your normal kind of HCS interview type stuff. So check it out. If you're looking for official HCS type of stuff, you can check out a myriad of different sites. There's plenty of different communities out there. And of course, you can also follow the official accounts, ESL Halo and HCS on Twitter for latest updates there. And there's also a HCS podcast. It's called the HCS Listening, which is hosted by Tashi and Strongside. And they have been doing that weekly, but they haven't been able to do it for the past month or so because they have been busy with the finals. And then there was the Vegas event, and they're doing all the prep work. They had the finals for EU last week, and then they have the finals for North America this week. So they've been busy, but they typically do that podcast weekly, and they have some special guests on, some team members from some of the pro teams on from time to time. So if you're looking for official news sources for that, make sure you check out those different places. Again, ACS Listen In, which is on iTunes and SoundCloud, and then all the official Twitter accounts at HCS and at ESL Halo. So make sure you check all that stuff out. Speaking of community stuff, we also have our giveaway that is still underway. We're doing 7 days of Halo gear giveaway, today being day number 4. And since we're at it, I'm going to go ahead and pick a winner for our day 4 content, which is, forget at the moment, but we've given away an Xbox Live 3-month subscription and $10 code, which was day 1. Day 2 was Hot Wheels UNSC Warthog and the Tyco Halo Warthog RC vehicle, which it was bound to happen, but Pins won those.
Imagine that.
It only took day 2 for him to win one of the things.
Now, if he just had that kind of luck with the lottery, he could, you know, set us all up.
Oh, yeah, he'd be done. Yesterday was a Halo and Podtacular t-shirt. And then today is the Covenant Plasma Grenade and Grunt Plush. That's day number 4. And the winner for that, her name is Ashley. Her Twitter account is at Mangaholic01. So congratulations. You are our day 4 winner. And I will be reaching out to her via email to get the address to ship those off. But tomorrow is a very cool one. For those of you that may have paid attention to our YouTube channel recently, we uploaded a video for the Numbskull official Halo Ugly Christmas sweater. And we're actually giving one of those away tomorrow for day 5.
Yeah, I looked at buying one of those. They don't make one big enough.
There's not a triple?
Nope. 2X is as big as I saw. And if a 2X is tight on you, I know it ain't going on me.
Yeah, that's very true. You might be able to tweet at them and see if they can offer a larger size.
I'm not a big sweater person anyway. It was more going to be wall art than anything.
Oh, so you could buy any size you want then.
I could, yes.
But you can check that out on Amazon. We've been tweeting out a link that you can use to go over and purchase it. But we'll be giving one of those away tomorrow. So here's your chance to possibly get one for free. And then on day six, we're giving away one of the Dark Horse PAX Prime exclusive Banshees. It's the silver one that they were selling, and it was exclusive to PAX Prime. So we'll be giving that away in day six. And then day seven, to wrap all of it up, we'll be giving away a Halo 5 Guardians Limited Collector's Edition. The whole bang caboodle. So if you do not have Halo 5 LCE and you're looking for it from a collector standpoint, then you'll be able to get one.
Or keep the stuff and give the code for the game to somebody, to one of your friends that doesn't have it.
That too.
Get them hooked on Halo.
There you go. If you're interested in participating in the giveaway, and if you're listening to this before... Oh, and I need to change the end date on that. Before the end of December 9th, then you'll be in the drawing, one drawing per day for all this stuff. So there you go. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in to us and listening. We are over on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, all that fun stuff. Make sure you check us out on all of our appropriate channels. Make sure you check us out on Twitch Tuesday nights when we record our podcast live on Twitch at 9 Eastern time. And then we also have our game nights, Fragment Fridays, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, hosted by none other than Mr. GT himself.
And hopefully I have a voice still Friday.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I have faith in you.
I have faith that I might not.
Oh, you have faith. I'm holding out for you. And no, Pens, I have not read Halsey's journal yet. That will probably be during the flight over to London for Christmas.
London?
Yeah. Yeah, my family's going over there because my dad's currently over there for work. So we're just, they're paying basically for the whole family to be there. And it's going to be like a destination Christmas type of thing.
Cool.
It'll be very awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I have been there before, but it was when I was really young, so I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
So this will be a nice kind of actually be able to remember it this time type of thing.
Yeah, it's always nice to be able to remember where you've been.
Yeah, just a bit.
It's like when I was 2, I went to Silver Dollar City in Missouri. Only time I've ever been there. I don't remember any of it. Big surprise. But my mom always loves to tell me how much I love sucking on sugar packets.
Sugar packets?
Yeah, sugar packets. You know, for the ones they keep on the table at the restaurants.
Yeah.
That's how they kept me entertained. I'm surprised I wasn't just kind of floating next to them.
Interesting. Okay. Learn something new every day. Receptor's in Wales, not London. So that wouldn't exactly work.
Call him up. I'm sure it's only a 10-hour flight.
I've only put in the paperwork to be cleared for London travel. Nowhere else.
No, him come to
you. Oh, yeah. Make sure you also check out the podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific podcasts, including Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, an EVE Online podcast, unofficially related Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast, which I still need to play. I haven't played it yet. And then there's also two other podcasts that aren't necessarily gaming-specific, but they're part of the network, which are How to Murder Time and Work in Progress. You can check that out over at podka.st and let them know that we sent you. Good podcast just for passing the time in the car, on the drive to work, or at work, or whatever. Great podcast to listen to, especially if you're interested in those particular topics or those particular franchises or games. And that'll wrap it up, I think, for the most part. The latest loot crate, I believe you have until December 15th to order it. Today was the last day to order to be guaranteed to be shipped and received by Christmas. But I believe orders are still available until December 15th. So if you haven't gotten your Halo Legendary crate for this month, if you're going month to month, or if you have been on the fence for a while and decide to kind of hold off and you're interested in getting it now, then you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular, and it'll direct you to the Halo crate, that you can purchase, and you can purchase it in either just a month to month, or you can do a 3 month subscription or a 3 crate subscription, which will do 6 months, or a 12 month subscription, which will do 6 crates. It's a crate every other month. So you have to order by December 15th by 9 p.m. Pacific time. That is midnight Eastern time. And the theme is Halo Conflict, which is kind of harkening back to Halo Combat Evolved.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then at checkout, make sure you use the code PODTACKLER and you'll get $3 off your subscription.
Yay, discount.
Yay. Halo gear. Halo swag. That's it for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in to this episode of the PODTACKLER. We will see you all back here next week for another fine recording. And then that will be probably the last show for the year, because the following two Tuesdays I will be in London, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a way for me to record. Next week might be the last podcast of the year, so make sure you are there for that one if you're around to be on Twitch at the time. Peace out, everybody. Keep on fragging monitors.